Message title for today is called simply One Day. We're going to be using a variety of scriptures, and I'm actually going to do something a little different today. So bear with me on that. But I want to take you back to 1984. I was 22 at that time. I was 22 years old, thinking back 40 years now. And I actually was one of those people starting to get involved in the political arena in that I began to notice things. And I actually caught a debate with Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale. And I almost referred to him as Mondull because people thought how dull he was, and that's how they kept talking to him. You hear it so often, you start to say that. But Walter Mondale got into a debate with Ronald Reagan, and one of the biggest issues that came up was age. How old Ronald Reagan was, and I think at that time he may have been the oldest president that we had. And so age was a big issue, and Ronald Reagan's advisors started talking to him. Now we got to somehow address this and talk about this so that, you know, the people won't get scared off. Well, Ronald Reagan said, "Don't worry, I'll say something." And nobody knew what he was going to say. So sure enough, in the debate, one of the moderators brought up about President Reagan. He was already, his first term was coming to an end. They said, "Given your age, do you think you could go a second term?" And President Reagan, I wrote it down so I wouldn't misquote it. He said, "I want you to know that I also will not make age an issue in this campaign. I am not going to exploit, for political purposes, my opponent's youth and inexperience." And when he said that, even Walter Mondale laughed. It was a very witty comeback, and Ronald Reagan won in a landslide. But now I see jokes, memes, they're called. You know what a meme is, right? It's where you take an image and you write something funny to go with that image. I didn't put it up here because I didn't really think it was appropriate for this message. But we all know our current president is having, he speaks sometimes and says things incorrectly. And I used to laugh, I used to joke. And for a while there, I thought it was funny. And now I'm beginning to think it's more sad than anything. Because I thought, who are these people propping him up? Well, let's show the next image. So basically my topic for today is our care and our interaction with the elderly. I think this is a message for all of us in here, whether you're on the young end of the spectrum or whether you're getting on the other end of the spectrum. As Zacharias would say, I'm old. But he wouldn't say that about his wife. None of us would, right, Glenn? We wouldn't say my wife's old. We would say well stricken in years. So, but the fact is, But the fact is, we don't like to talk about age. But I actually didn't do myself a favor, but I went online and I was looking at all the many articles. And I knew about them, but I was dumbfounded because when I started looking at these articles, they hit me in the face like a ton of bricks because I saw photos of people who were beaten. People like that top one there were a living assisted care worker was beaten up on an old man. To see videos of that is horrifying. It's awful. And we even have a day set aside, the World Stop Elderly Abuse Day or awareness issue. So what kind of abuse happens? See, I don't know if I just haven't been paying attention, but I've noticed that as I get older, I began to notice things more concerning the elderly. Guess what? I'm there now. I actually was surprised when we went somewhere to get some lunch, and the guy asked me if I wanted to go ahead and get the senior citizen discount. I'm like, what? Actually, he may have asked you first.
No, he asked you.
Rats. I thought I could pass that on. That was an eye opener for me. And I felt bad enough about it that I looked it up. I went to Google and I said, well, when do you become a senior citizen? Now, the good news is that there's some debate about that. The good news is it says typically 65 and older. And I thought, well, I'm in the clear. But then I kept seeing it pop up. Well, now it's around 60 and above. Oh, great. Here I am. I'm now a senior citizen. And that didn't sit well with me. But here I am at that one day. I've now hit that one day mark. You're going to be there one day. But when we talk about our elderly, before we get into the scriptures, the types of abuse that I've read so much about is physical, verbal. I'm actually guilty of that one. Because sometimes, you know, we get upset at our moms and our dads, and they really can't help it. But what I was bothered by was financial. How many of the elderly were getting robbed of their monthly assistance? And not only by others, but by children getting robbed. And then, of course, you have outright neglect, to where people just won't take care of their families. So I want to bring it close to home, starting with the scripture that God gave his people after they come out of Egypt. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Let's go ahead and read that, the next scripture. Right there, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In the New Testament, it refers back to this scripture and actually called it a scripture with a promise. The promise is that your days may be long upon the land. Now, I actually thought I knew what that meant, and then one day my mom solidified it because I said something kind of hateful. I forgot what we were talking about. That never matters, but I remember I spoke back too hard. And she told me, she said, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. And immediately I remember that my days may not be long if I keep it up. But the fact is, she opened my eyes, and I wasn't following scripture. Because I wish I could remember what it was specifically. But the fact is, I just remember speaking harsh, very hateful to her. But scripture also talks about how we treat our elderly, the older folks. And let's go to the next scripture. And by the way, Malin, I've got duplicate scriptures, but they're in different translations. That's the new thing. So let's read it from the King James. Thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Pop quiz. Raise your hand if you know what hoary head means. One, two, three. Okay. I didn't think many people knew what hoary head means. Let's read from the next translation. The NIV. Rise in the presence of the aged. In other words, stand up. Show respect. How many times have I ridden on in an airport? I ride these subways. It's like a train, and it just moves from one concourse to the next. And they'll sometimes it's packed, and there'll be some elderly folk on there, and they're very feeble. It's very noticeable that they're feeble. And young men, oh, this bothers me. Young men just sit. Don't offer their seat to a feeble person, barely able to even move about. Stand up, rise in the presence of the aged, and show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. Now, I didn't discuss what hoary head means. That's common. Common courtesy. Respecting the elderly. Because one day you're going to be there. One day I got there. I am one now, or I is one now. But that's common respect. What about comfort for the elderly? People who are approaching that time in their journey to where they're now a senior citizen. Let's read the next scripture. Isaiah 46 and 4 in the King James Version says, "And to even your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you." Interesting. Hoar hairs. Let's read the same verse in the New International. "Even to your old age and gray hairs." Now everybody knows what hoar hairs are. I had to actually look it up in the dictionary to be sure. I knew what I thought it was, but I had to be sure. Hoar hairs are gray hairs. A hoary head is a gray head. Now you notice I don't wash the gray out of my hair. And I'm actually getting a circle on top. But that's the fate of all of us men, right? I was always told that your hair will typically be whatever your maternal grandfather was on your mother's side. And I looked at my grandfather, and at 85, I think, he had a whole head of hair. And I thought, yes, I'm getting the right genes. But wasn't meant to be. The fact is, hoar hairs are gray hairs. So listen to what the Lord is saying. As a comfort to all of us who have reached this point in our life and our journey, he's saying to the old age, even in your or to your old age, from now to your old age and your gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you, and I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Wow. No matter how old we get, in spite of how the world treats us, God is going to be there with us. That is great comfort to me. I really am concerned of folks who grow old and don't know the Lord. Glenn's had some testimonies about people he's talked to who thought that they were just too bad for God to save, even in their old age. And the problem with that is a lot of people, young and old, believe the devil's lie that I'm too bad for God to accept me. But I don't know if you listened to what Deronda sang earlier. Actually, I was glad she sang that because she, in one of the lines, she said, "There's nothing you can do that God won't forgive." Now, you got to be sincere. If you come to the Lord, you have to be sincere. And that's where faith comes in. You decide to give your life, your heart, your soul, your body to God. And if you follow him, it will be counted for you as righteousness. And that's how you become saved. You believe on him. And then from there is your starting point. And even to your old age and gray hairs, he'll take care of you. He will watch over you. He will be with you. That's comforting to me. But you know, sometimes we are concerned as we start to age what our worth is. You realize some societies are actually considering that the elderly are no longer worth anything. They actually use the argument, well, they're not contributing to society anymore. Excuse me? There's other ways to contribute to society, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but let's go to the next scripture. So the next scripture tells us in the King James, this is Job, it says, with the ancient is wisdom. Now, I don't think I would dare call anybody in here ancient. We have joked around and said they're older than dirt, but that's a joke. I still wouldn't call anybody ancient, but the scripture says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days, understanding. In other words, the longer you live, hopefully, you grow in understanding. Let's read the, I forgot what version it said, New King James Version. It says, wisdom is with aged men and women, and with length of days, the longer you live, hopefully you have more understanding. Folks, he's talking about experience. Oh my, what could we learn from the experience of the elderly? So the Bible teaches us here to learn from our elders. How do we do that? We learn wisdom. We talk to them. We listen to them. We gain understanding. Now there is a gap, and I guess you might know this. You've actually heard the phrase generation gap. There's a generation gap for sure. But there's also a technology gap. A technology gap. What do I mean by that? Well, I tell you, cell phones today, mobile phones, can do way, way more than it could 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Actually, I don't know when mobile phones first came out. I remember I was well into my adult years before I ever got one. And now even our kids, grandkids have a mobile phone. They're more well-versed in how to use it. They can do things on that a lot of us, me included, still can't do. The smartphone is actually way smarter than me. And I've heard that said multiple times. But the fact is, there's a technology gap. So sometimes we get impatient with our moms and our dads and our grandmoms and dads, and we sometimes try to help, and it's difficult. There's things I have difficulty learning today as a newly member of the senior citizen group. So the fact is, I still am pressing to learn, but you know, one day, you're going to be there too. Who knows what technology will be like in the next 5 years? In fact, I actually wasn't thinking about mentioning this, but now they've got this Apple, I'm not even sure what it's called, but it's the glasses. Have y'all seen those? Has anybody seen the, what's his name? Zuckerberg was trying to come out with a thing called Metaverse. It's these goggles that they wear, and they can turn and look around, and they're in another world, okay? Yeah, so it's virtual reality, but this is different. This is different. This is technology merged with reality. And I wish I'd brought a little video about that, but what it does, in these goggles, you can see a screen. And you may see a second screen, depending on how you have it configured, and maybe even a third screen. But yet I could see all of you at the same time. And when I'm looking at you, I could see these screens at the same time. And let's say I get a text message. Now, I'm talking to you right now, but if I was wearing one of those and I got a text message, I could wave my hands in the air and read it. Right there in front of you. Now, I'd look like an idiot with these goggles on, talking to you. But what if all of you had one? We'd all look like idiots. But we wouldn't care because you could FaceTime Emily. Oh, hey, Emily. And, of course, you know, all of you are out there, and I'm going like this, and y'all think, he's nuts. And in a sense, that would be. But Apple has come out with this new technology that 5 years from now, we may be having church, and all of us sitting here with these goggles on. And I might say, folks, I want you to go to this website and look at this image, and you'll all be going like this in the air. And then all of a sudden, somebody goes to the inappropriate site, they'll go, oh! Didn't mean to go there. Swipe, 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 get that out of there. And you're sitting there going crazy like you're swatting flies and mosquitoes. It's there. It's today, folks. It's today. But the fact is, there's this technology gap. And we got to be patient with people like me who may not understand how to use that technology. Because with those goggles, I actually saw a real video, not a fake one, a man driving down the road. And he's sitting there going, would you trust somebody on the road like that? There's a lot of people I wouldn't trust anyway, much less with these goggles on. But what I'm saying is, they can see screens at the same time they can see the real world. Fascinating on the one hand and scary on the other. But just like this, Scripture teaches us that our duty is to learn from the elderly. Let's read the next scripture. Hearken, listen unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. It's amazing that that has to actually be written down. Don't hate your mom when she gets old. Don't hate your dad. Listen. Learn. They have experience you haven't had yet. Now, I can remember, and I bet you too, I can remember when you were 18, 19, 20, you were the man, the woman of the world, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go get this, and I'm going to be all that. And your mom and dad probably back there going, nope, don't work that way. Listen, hearken to what they have to say. Learn from the wisdom that they have. And then at the same time, let's understand, all of us, that life is short. Let's go to the next scripture, please. Psalms 90, 12 says, so teach us. This is David, I think, talking to the Lord. To teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's count our days. Let's understand that we don't have a whole lot of time. Now, you couldn't have read that to me and convinced me when I was 20 years old that that was a fact. But now that I've kind of moved on to that one day, to where now I have to think about, oh, there was so much I wish I would have accomplished. So much that I wished I would have done for the Lord. I wish. Life is short, folks. Make the best of it, even with the time you got left. But especially you young people out here, think about how much time, because we were there once. I remember when I talked in church too loud. Actually, I didn't realize I did it. And you get a right on the back of the head. I don't know if parents still do that these days. But that was my mark to shut up. But here we go. Let's think about this illustration. And this actually hit me home, but I didn't heed it. Years ago, back when I was probably in my mid-20s, I actually read a story where a young man goes and he interviews a bunch of elderly. He actually went to nursing homes and all kinds of places, and he just interviewed the elderly. I thought, well, that's really interesting. Why would you do such a thing? The question he asked them the most is, what do you regret? Think for yourself. What do you regret that you wish you had done when you were younger? Now, for some of us here, that's not too far back. But for a lot of us, that's way back. You have to go back to the Wayback Machine to start thinking about, what would I have done different if I was younger? This young man interviewed these people and got all kinds, hundreds of people, to say what they wish they would have done. Go places, visit things, and maybe, today we would call that a bucket list. A bucket list. Things I want to do before I die. And this young man took everything that they said and he made a bucket list. He picked out the things that interested him that these older folks said, I wish I'd done that when I was your age. And he wrote them all down. He struck out the ones he wasn't interested in, but he kept a lot of them. And that became his bucket list. And he did it. And his reason for doing all that, all the way through the years, he later told somebody, he said, I wanted to live life and not have any regrets. Think about that. That's so amazing. And when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, this is great. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it. But you know, as I think about my life, how I used to speak back to my mother, and I do regret things that we've exchanged, and I hated myself for that. But I thought, well, what does the Bible say with how you speak to the elderly group? Let's look at the next scripture, please. So the next scripture talks, and I'm going to read both of these, by the way, and then we're going to get to the other. So in the King James Version, it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And by the way, when it talks about entreat, then it follows with a list. So it starts the list with father, but entreat him as a father and the younger men as brethren, next verse, the elder women as mothers and the younger as sisters with all purity. Entreat them. So let's read the, I think it's the New King James Version. It says, but do not rebuke. Look at that. Speak harshly to, like I did to my mom. Do not speak harshly to an older man, but exhort him, and I'll talk about that in a second, as a father. Exhort him as a father. Exhort the younger men as brothers. Keep going, next verse. And exhort older women as mothers and exhort younger women as sisters with all purity. In other words, don't exhort with a bad motive. You realize how some people like to give advice and they hurt people's feelings doing it? They do. And sometimes it's on purpose. They purposely hurt people. So don't speak harshly. So what is, first of all, this instruction was given to Timothy. If you don't know who Timothy is, he was a young preacher. He was a protege or a student of Paul. And Paul was a great apostle, and he basically had mentored Timothy. And that's another topic. But we ought to mentor people. We ought to teach people. Take them under our wings, so to speak, and teach them the way of the world. In fact, I'm even going to do this for our grandchildren. Show them how things work. You realize a lot of people still don't know how to put oil in a car? They don't even know how to check it, for goodness sakes. What about putting air in your tire? What about changing a tire? I see a lot of smiles in here. I'm just curious how many people especially have changed a tire. I can even remember way back when I first put gas in the car. I felt that was the greatest thing. I was like an adult. And now with prices the way they are, I wish I was a kid again. But to exhort means to give warnings or advice or appeals, urgent appeals, things that are necessary. In other words, the scripture is teaching us you don't speak harshly to get your word in, okay? You don't argue, you don't fuss to get your point across. You gently give warnings, you give appeals, you give advice. That's what it means when it says exhort your father, your mother, and also, or excuse me, I take it back, the elderly as father, to elderly men, to elderly women, as mothers. And then, of course, he goes on to say, and other guys as brothers and other women as sisters. That's a command. So what's the bottom line for all of this? The point I've been trying to make is that no matter where you are right now on your journey, one day, all of what I just discussed is going to be you. Now, some of us here are already going, yep, I'm there already. But what I want to tag this with is there was a point in time, and I don't even recall, it was like maybe 10 years ago, that I actually climbed up on a roof. I used a ladder and I climbed up on a roof, probably, I don't know, 15 feet in the air. Now I know a lot of you might say, that's not high at all. Well, there I was up on the roof. I did whatever it was I was going to do, and I was fine. I was okay. But then I had to come down off that ladder. And I remember, and of course, you know, you leave the ladder sticking up far enough above the roof so that you can get a good hold. And I stepped on that first rung, and I went down to the second rung, and then a strange thing happened. My legs started doing this. I'm like, what? What is going on? I suddenly had a fear of heights. Out of nowhere, I had a fear of heights. Now, all along, I've had a fear of widths, but never heights. You'll get it in a little while. Fear of widths. Suddenly, I was nervous to come off that ladder. And I actually heard Eddie tell this story many times, and I never thought it would apply to me, but he said he used to jump off the back of his truck. He'd jump off of it. He did it for years. And then one day he realized he had to sit down on the tailgate and slide off. One day. I did something really stupid one day, and it's only one of many. But the fact is, I actually came here one day, and I remembered that story, and I stood right here. So I'm going to jump off this. That's not high. Really? I did. I jumped off. I didn't land in the floor, but I come very close to it. I thought, I'm not going to do that again because nobody was here. I could imagine myself in the floor. And I wouldn't do this because I wouldn't want to lie, but I would have to tell Deronda, you know, it's like, the Spirit slain me and I had to go. I mean, what? How am I going to explain me lying in the floor? Earl did a stupid thing. Fire the next screen, please. So here we are. What do we do now? Let's think about it. I've had fun kind of talking about this, but I tell you what, it's very serious. Because I remember where I was. Now I'm there, that one day, I'm there. One day you're going to be there. One day we're going to need the comfort of the Lord. If you don't know that day already, the day could be that day. To understand that we now have opportunities and we have time to change how we treat the elderly. To treat them with respect. Stand up. Rise in the presence of the elderly. Show common respect, not just to them, but to people. Offer to help. One of the saddest things I saw or read about was where there was a man who was in like a Home Depot or a Lowe's, one of those construction places to get something. And the guy simply told him, when he asked, he said, where can I find this size screw and whatnot? And the guy just said, hey, it's down aisle 6. And the poor fellow went down there and he just looked and he looked and he looked. Couldn't find it. And somebody who had heard actually went to help him. Folks, let's have patience. Because one of these days we're going to be there. One day you're going to look and look and not see it. Father, I'm so grateful that you care so much about all of us from the beginning of our journey till the end. And Lord, what I hope that this congregation gets is that we know to give respect, we know to help, we know that to be followers of Christ, that we give ourselves to people who need help. But Lord, we live in a day and time when our elderly are sometimes finding it convenient. It's hard. With the new technology advances, it's hard. We live in a different day and time, and who knows what it'll be like 5, 10, 20 years from today. But Lord, I know that there's that one day it's coming for each of us. And so Lord, I ask that you bless each person here, that they hear the words of the Bible that say, let us take care and respect the elderly. And so Father, I invite anyone who wants prayer, anybody who wants to pray, to come and offer their prayers to you. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.